especially if you're one of our geeks and sneaks using this podcast to power you through a workout or a run. You got to get those New Year's resolutions in. You got to do it. You got to stick to it. You got to make it doable. Make it repeatable. Make it a habit. And you know what? We're going to be with you in your ear holes for 90 plus minutes of gaming goodness, because DLC is your downloadable commentary for the week, delivered the way we love it to be. And that is completely free, thanks to our sponsors this week, Masterworks, HelloFresh, and Squarespace. Squarespace! They're bringing the show to you. DLC, of course, the show all about games in their many forms. Games played on desktops, laptops, and consoles. Also games that involve dice, luck, and cardboard. I'm your host, Jeff Cannata, the spell with two N's and one T. And I am joined, as always, by my friend, slash co-host, slash nemesis, the guy who has been doing this with me for 8 full years, starting our 9th year, Mr. Christian Spicer. Hello, Christian.
Hello, Jeff. I started when we were vamping pre-show with just Into the Unknown, which I can't, like, I can only do those bars because then Disney will sue us out of existence, but I don't know why that was the, it's like I could have picked any song about future or going into something, but nine, year 2022, year nine, what a wild ride.
It has been,
my friend.
This is it. This is our annual January 8th. Do the math.
2014.
Oh my golly.
Yep.
Was our very first episode of DLC. And it was just the two of us. So every year, our annual, we do the first episode of the year, our first episode in January, like we did that first episode, just the two of us. Usually DLC, we have a third guest, a person on the show. And this year, we've had a phenomenal list of returning guests, brand new voices that we heard from for the first time. It has been a stellar year for guests for DLC. Very proud of the variety of voices, the diversity of voices, and the wonderful recurring characters that we have had on the show in 2021. And we love that. We love having a third person come in and change things up and talk about things that we're not interested in or we don't know about, or looking at things in a way we wouldn't be looking at them. But I always love this episode at the beginning of the year, when it's just you and me again, like it was that very first episode. I thank you for doing this with me, Christian, for so long, starting our 9th year. Did you ever think it would last this long?
No, but I also don't see it ending. Does that make sense? You know,
it's so bleak when you put it that way. I didn't think it would last this long, but there's no sign of relief.
No. I mean, if you had asked me back then, hey, we'll be starting our 9th year in 2022, I'd be like, oh, I don't, that seems like a long time. But then also, if any given week, it's never like, oh, I have to do this again, or like, oh, I can't wait to be done with this, or anything like that. Like, I'm very proud of the gaming corner of the internet that we've kind of created and carved out. And so, yeah, I think once we found that groove, I definitely thought it'd be going this long and longer. But if you ask me at any given time that first year, like, hey, dude, 9 years from now, you'll still be doing this, I'd be like, I mean, 9 years from now, everything will be perfect, so we won't be talking about video games.
Things are only going to get better from here, you said 9 years ago. Well, yes, I agree with that. I mean, we are very, very fortunate that this show has continued, that we've had the audience that we've had. We're not the biggest gaming podcast on the internet, but we have a rock solid audience that I'm super grateful for. And it is a audience that I think we've cultivated. It is a group of really good people. You know, all the touch points, you know, our subreddit, our Discord, all of the emails we get. It's super clear to me that folks that listen to this show are of a particular kind of a disposition. And I think that is one I'm very proud of. It's folks that really come to this hobby with a lot of hope and positivity and joy. And I consider myself lucky to be counted among those folks. So thank you all for being with us for this long. If this is your first episode, thank you for checking us out. If this is your 400 and what is it,
24, 20-something? Yeah,
something like that, 424th. We are grateful that you've been here the whole time as well. This is going to be, I think, a new chapter this year, this ninth year. We can't really talk about it quite yet, but things are a changing for us, and it's I think it provides some opportunities for the podcast, and we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks, but.
Year nine, Jeff and I are introducing a new baby to the show. We got to keep it fresh.
Yeah. It's sweeps week. So we got to do everything we can.
Everybody's dated everybody already. We got to do something. Ross already started the show with a monkey. So we got to do something to keep it interesting.
Poochie is, we bring Poochie onto the show. So anyway, but this episode is awesome. This episode is always a super fun one because for the last nine times at the beginning of the year, we have made predictions for the coming year in the world of games.
It's so kind that you call them predictions. Like sometimes I'll let our audience know a little thing. Won't include you. I won't project, but just for me, sometimes I know stuff. And sometimes I get to say stuff that I know, and I paint it as a prediction.
I specifically avoid saying stuff I know to be true.
Well, sometimes I do, because even it still feels bold. But
how we get in trouble. That's how we get in trouble, is by saying stuff that was told to us in confidence.
No. It's never stuff that I'm not allowed to say. I'm told often, not often. Sometimes I'm told I'm allowed to say something. You know what I mean? But it is kind that you still call these predictions, because most of the time, they're not predictions as much as they are wild things. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, so this episode, we call it the reckoning, right? Because we reckon with the predictions that we made all the way back in January of 2021. And we also make predictions for 2022.
Why? Why? We beat each other up for the first part of the episode. And then we say, you know what? Let's do that.
Well,
again.
You know, some of us get a song out of it.
Jeff was right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, sometimes it works out for some of us. I'll just say that. But yeah, so three parts of the show. We have the reckoning from last year, where we listen to the predictions that we made and we respond and we find out, you know, if we were correct. Or we got wrecked, right? Mm-hmm. Then in the second section of the show, we will be talking about all of the games that we think might be coming out in 2022. The games, very few of them probably will, but as we've seen. But the list of games that are slated to, you know, that we are known quantities for 2022. And we kind of talk about the ones we're most excited about and what we expect. And then... in the third part of the show, we make predictions. Now, if you search around on the internet, you will find a variety of predictions, and most people will make, you know, maybe they'll make some bold predictions. We also make bold predictions, but we start at bold, and we move from bold into even more extreme flavor country. That we call Cool Ranch. So there are two varieties of predictions. We start with bold, but then the flavor profile gets even more intense from there. And we get way out on a limb with our Cool Ranch predictions. So that's what you have to look forward to. The reckoning, the games of 2022, and then our bold and Cool Ranch predictions. Christian, are you ready? Are you ready for this?
Jeff was right, and it's really pissing. I'm ready. I am ready. Let's put our feet to the fire. And I'm very excited about talking about the games coming out in 2023.
Yeah, the games we know about now that are coming out in 2023. Yes. So let's jump right into it and start I should also say, before we get into this, is that every year I try really hard to come up with a way to designate when we're listening to audio from last year's episode, because it's just you and me talking. And the sad news is we don't sound any different, even though the ravages of another year have destroyed us physically and mentally.
I mean, that's kind. I feel like it. We probably do. I mean, was that this year where you didn't sound at all? I mean, so let's just be grateful that we're here.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. You
know, sounding somewhat similar. But yes, it can be hard for our audience to distinguish. Okay, Jeff, play that clip of me predicting. Yeah. We will both love Guardians of the Galaxy. Wow, that was incredible.
Folks hear us talking and then they hear a recording of us talking. It sounds pretty the same. So there's always a challenge to designate as to when you are listening to audio from a year ago. And I've tried a variety of things, including literally crunching chips into the microphone. I've tried echoey, long ago sounding bold predictions, all that stuff. Well, friend of the show, and actually, I believe I can reveal next week's guest, game developer extraordinaire Danish Syed, and friend of the show.
I'm surprised he's still friend of the show and next week's guest after what happened, what you're about to say, but yes.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's lucky we booked him well in advance. But he reached out on the Twitters, publicly on the Twitters, and called me out and said, hey, you gotta do a music bed for all of the audio clips that you play. By the way, this is the episode that I work on the most of any episode in the entire year, because it's just excruciating to listen to yourself from a year ago making terrible, wrong predictions, and then, you know, plucking those things out and prepping them. And anyway, so I was doing all that, and then I get this tweet from Danish who says, you know, you got to do a music bed, not just a thing beforehand, not just hilarious crunching sounds. You got to do a music bed so we know what we're listening to. So I spent many hours doing music bed and used royalty-free music, which I'm sure will still get this podcast pinged in some way and yanked down from the internet. But thank you to Pixabay, which is the first Google result of a free audio, free music, royalty-free music on the internet. So here we go. The first bold prediction from last year, from 2021, Christian Spicer.
Ooh. More Marvel from Insomniac.
Different Marvel.
Well, see, that's where I put the period. The period's after more Marvel from Insomniac. I mean, the safe bet is like a Spider-Man 2, and I don't even know if that's bold, but like I would consider Daredevil outside of the Spider family, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like, you know, something like that, but
I'd love a Daredevil thing.
I have to think that Marvel is looking to Insomniac. Like that relationship is ripe for more. And right. I have to think that Sony is also wanting that with their relationship with Marvel. So more Marvel from Insomniac, and I think it goes outside of the Spider family.
Christian Spicer, the Spicestradamus, coming in hot with the very first prediction.
And that's this week's show. Thanks for listening.
Because as you know, if you listen to the show, Insomniac did announce not just more Spider-Man 2 coming soon, but Wolverine. So you didn't get the Daredevil right, but pretty darn close, Spicestradamus.
Yeah, outside the Spider family. I did the thing that I'm going to do again this year, I'm sure, and that you do as well, where you say a thing and then you keep talking. And it's like, as you listen to the old predictions, it's like, stop talking, you had it.
And then, yeah, you were right. And then you get farther away from right as you keep talking. Yeah.
But this time it worked. Granted, not Daredevil, but outside the Spider family. And more Marvel. Yeah, that I feel good. I'm happy with this week's show.
I'm going to give you a correct on that one. You nailed it. Pretty darn close. So there you go. One for one, Christian Spicer. Here's my first bold prediction from last year. Breath of the Wild 2 is announced for March 2022 alongside the Switch Plus.
Interesting.
Or Switch HD or Switch Pro or whatever they want to call it. But there's new Switch hardware that is more powerful and or has a sharper resolution, as like Switch HD maybe.
You said 2022.
It's announced this year. We hear an announcement this year that Breath of the Wild 2 is going to be a 2022 game and is going to launch alongside new Switch hardware. I also think Breath of the Wild 2 gets rebranded as a different title. It's not called Breath of the Wild 2. It's going to be called like something, something, something Breath of the Wild. The pointy stick of glory, you know, Breath of the Wild or something, you know, whatever, whatever it's called. So another example of me just talking so long and getting wronger and wronger. But there's a shred of accuracy there because Breath of the Wild 2 was announced as a 2022 game, not March, but they did say 2022. And we did get a Switch OLED?
No. But yes, I think that was a pretty... I think if you had asked most people, maybe not most, but a lot of people, the beginning of January 2021, like that was a bold prediction to say Breath of the Wild 2, which had been shown, was not coming until March 2022. I think you're wrong with that March. I think it'll probably be even later than that.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's probably going to be holiday 2022.
But that was a good prediction. Yes, you kept talking and I just sat there silently and let you keep digging, but but that was a good prediction. I think that's a good one.
Well, yeah. I haven't earned the Canosticator yet. You got Spystradamus pretty locked in, but Canosticator,
Jeff, we all know you earned that this year, so stop.
Well, just wait for it. Wait for it. I'm very excited. I'm also going to check in with you right now. How's that music bed sounding?
It sounds good. It's different music each time, though, so far.
Well, there's one for you and one for me. That's all I've done.
Okay.
All right. So you're one for one. I'm, I guess, maybe a quarter of one for one, but not really. All right, here we go. Christian Spicer's bold prediction number 2 from 2021.
There's no Fable this year.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way, doesn't it? But I hope you're wrong because I want to play that game. But
love the franchise coming from one of my favorite studios of recent memory. I just don't think it's this year.
Nailed it.
I mean, I almost could include that one again this year, but it doesn't feel bold anymore. It just feels like Jeff was right.
Yeah. But I mean, I think at that time we were kind of thinking maybe a Fable was going to be a 2021 kind of big Microsoft game.
Yes.
It's hard sometimes even to put yourself back in the shoes of the first week of January a year ago. And think what, you know, you're coming off of that last year. You just think, oh my gosh, all these games are coming. In fact, I went back and listened to the games that, you know, the second section of the show from last year where we talk about all the games we're most excited about. And the games we were most excited about were Horizon Forbidden West.
Good game.
Metroid Prime 4. Okay, and God of War Ragnarok. None of which have come out. Right. So the three games we were most excited about for this last year maybe come out 2022. You know, like it just shows you how long game development takes, how excited we are about these things, how the PR cycles of these games are very protracted. You know, you get these game announcements and they're years away.
And how COVID is not quitting, right? Like,
also that.
I think at that time it was vaccines are here or close, you know, whatever it was. And
yeah.
But again, sitting now, it's like, of course Fable didn't come out this year. But again, back then in January, like Halo had just been delayed more or less, right? Like it was originally a November 2020 game and they had already announced Fable. So I think it made sense that Fable was maybe going to come out. But now, of course, it's like, surprised we got any video games.
I know, right? Yeah, it doesn't seem even bold for you to say no Fable. It's just like, duh. But, you know, still, good job, Spice.
Still one of my favorite studios of recent memory, so that works also.
I mean, I'm super excited for getting even more. I kind of don't think we're going to get Fable in this calendar year either, but I'm hopeful we get at least some more information about it, because that would be... I'm excited for whatever that game turns out to be.
Yes.
Very much. All right. My second bold prediction from 2021. PlayStation VR 2 is announced with Inside Out tracking. And, here's the part where I keep talking, and Half-Life Alyx is a launch title. Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that PSVR 2 is going to have inside-out tracking, which, you know, we didn't know back then.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, no official announcement yet. I mean, it seems the rumblings seem to be happening. But I think that's a pretty big whiff. Although, you know, inside-out tracking.
No, you're too hard on yourself. I think that's a good, again, you acknowledged your keep talking moment when you had it.
Yeah.
But I think you got it pretty good. Also, now that I've listened to your music again, it kind of reminds me of something that could be in The Last of Us. I like it. It sounds kind of like Gustavo a little bit. I like your I like your music.
Yours is like, here I come, I'm Christian, I'm going to get this right. And me is like, this is not good. Why am I still talking? All the zombies are coming.
Your father figure's about to be murdered. Dun, 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 dun.
This is what you did, Danish. Anyway.
Look what you made me do.
All right. So we're up to the third bold prediction from 2021 from Christian Spicer.
Microsoft introduces a new controller this year.
Ooh, I wrote down the same prediction. Go ahead.
And that's where I put my period, so you can stop. if you're listening next year, just stop now. No more to hear here. We're good. We're done. And if I get, you know, bold, it's Xbox Elite 3. And it has PlayStation 5 style triggers.
Interesting. Yeah, I wrote down Microsoft announces an updated controller that supports more sophisticated force feedback.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
that was both of us. We were both hopped in on that one.
They introduced a lot of new controllers that I bought several of, but they're the same controller. That Forza controller is so good. And the Master Chief Elite Series 2 is beautiful. But they're still the same controllers.
Yeah, none of that force feedback. I kind of think that's still in the offing. I think that there's definitely still a big potential.
Unless, which I have not looked this up, and because I learned, you know, about SCUF's patents on the back paddles.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if, I do not know, but I wonder if there is patent problems in doing that. Would they need to license that tech from Sony? Does someone else own it?
Right.
Like, I wonder if they're able, like, the reason why Xbox controller is different than Nintendo's to begin with is because Nintendo, right, I think, has a patent on BA or whatever it is. So I'm curious how much copying is allowed, but I would love to see that controller go other places.
Yeah, I'm sure they have patents on all that stuff, but also, you know, there's multiple ways to do a similar effect. That's how you get around stuff like that, is like you come up with your own methodology for doing that, and then... I still think that as this particular console generation matures, and it's you know, glacially slow because of all the supply chain issues, but as it matures and those you know, those haptic feedback, I think, comes into its own and more games support it, and I still think Microsoft may end up doing something like that. It just seems to make sense, but maybe you're right. Maybe it's proprietary and never the twain shall meet. But either way, we were both wrong on that. that's the big takeaway. How wrong we were. Which, you know, recurring theme over 9 years. But, you know, we're also right sometimes. Not this time, though. Here's my next prediction.
And say Valve announces a new game. They're going to do a new, like, game that their studio made. I don't know if it'll be a VR game. I doubt it. But I think it'll be a new, not a Dota spinoff. It'll be like a real full new game.
So that didn't happen.
I mean, the problem is you had the genre right in Dota, in a studio making a new game that's not a Dota. You just had the studio wrong, and it was Riot. Riot has announced several new games that are not League.
Right.
And they all look incredible, or they have been incredible, and the other ones look incredible. And then I think the director of Valorant left and is working on a new, like, left Valorant, not Riot, is working on another new secret thing. So the nugget was there. You just put it on the route. You were still high on Half-Life Alyx, Jeff. That was two in a row that you put some Half-Life Alyx relation.
Yeah, well, yes. It dazzled me in 2020, I guess it was. I wanted more. But, you know, we haven't had any more. But that's okay. I'm not doing too great right now. But let's see how bad Christian can get something wrong in the next bold prediction.
Gran Turismo 7 actually comes out this year. That's what makes it.
Wow, that is bold. There's no universe where that happens.
I think, but for COVID.
Oh, right.
It's soon.
For polyphony is what it
is. No. I mean, so do you think it's going to hit its current date or not?
I have no idea. What is its current date?
I'm Googling to get it exactly right, but it's soon. March. It is March 4th is what they say.
I mean, I feel like it doesn't slip. We would have heard it slip earlier than now probably, but
it probably has traction control on, so it doesn't slip. Hey-o.
There you go.
Yes, that was a bold prediction. Anything Gran Turismo releasing on time is a bold prediction, but I still like it. I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable wearing those pants.
Yeah, I just liked how much I scoffed at it. How ridiculous it seemed, even now, to hear you say that it would come out then. But, you know, we'll see if it
makes... At that time, Jeff, I also didn't know what your other prediction was going to be. So you have to realize that I was swimming in a pool with imperfect information.
Are you excited about Gran Turismo 7? Are you looking forward to that game? I feel like Forza has really kind of dominated your talk about racing games.
I am looking forward to it. The more simmy aspect of Gran Turismo is a harder it takes longer for me to get hooked, but then when I get hooked, it's usually pretty deep. Like, was I looking at new racing wheels and stuff when they announced the release date? Yes, I was. I don't know if I'll pull the trigger on one, but what they're showing, the customization and everything in Gran Turismo 7, it looks like it's going to be pretty incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm wondering if I will enjoy that game now that I have sort of found the love with Horizon. I doubt it.
I doubt it as well. Gran Turismo, and I'm going to anger somebody here, but that style of game, I think, is more akin to... doing speed runs. Like, it's not just beating a level, which is what Forza Horizon is so much of. It's like always rewarding you. And Gran Turismo, in my head, is more the nun slapping your knuckles and being like, you suck. Do it again. It's like negative reinforcement that, like, you blew that corner, idiot. And I'm like, oh, I did. And Forza's like, good job, buddy. Here's a lollipop. And I'm like, thanks.
right, exactly. Forza's constantly giving you, like, hey, you just spent time here. Isn't it great? Here, have some stuff.
Yeah. And Gran Turismo's like, well, you just got lapped on the outside.
All right, well. Not so good so far. I mean, you came out strong and now you're kind of waning a bit, but that's okay. That's okay. Here is my fourth bold prediction. My prediction is there will be no reason for us ever to use the E3 hype train bumper again. I think E3, E3 is well and truly dead. There may well be something that is called E3. I don't think it is a place where human beings gather in June. I don't think it is a thing that major publishers participate in. It is almost completely going to be replaced by online, you know, Nintendo Direct style stuff. So I don't know how we score this one, because I kept talking, and yes, E3 wasn't a place where human beings gathered, but also Microsoft participated, some big guns participated. So I don't know how we score that one.
Yeah, I mean, we did use the bumper. I think your gut was in the right place. We did use the bumper. There were some good announcements that came out of E3 week, whether they were E3 official or not. I mean, E3 tried to put their hashtag on it regardless. but I mean, Keighley has slayed that dragon, right? Like, I don't know what happened to lead to their divorce, because at first he was doing a lot of his stuff as official E3, like, he had those awesome panels with, like, directors and all that stuff that were like E3 official things that happened. And then, of course, now he's doing his own thing. And based on the numbers for the Game Awards and everything that he's doing and those reveals, you know, I said it in jest before, but, like, we really do need, we need to be like, chugga chugga, Jeff Keighley. Like, that's the hype train.
We have the Summer of Games Summer bumper of Game. that Sean Madigan did. And in fact, I cut it out of what I played there. But in last year's episode, I said there's no reason for us to use the E3 bumper anymore. We will just be using the the Summer of Games, you know, Summer of Games. And so, yeah, that's kind of what the gist of my prediction was, is that that Summer of Games is going to steamroll what E3 once was. And it hasn't completely happened. You know, E3 is kind of rising from the ashes a bit, but it's going to be really interesting to see if this year they intend to do in person, you know, if who knows with the variants and COVID and all that stuff, and who participates and how it works and what it's all. I mean, are we going to go to LA? I have to go to LA. You're there already, but are we going to go to E3? I mean, do people go there? I don't know. I don't feel like that's.
Yeah.
In the cards, well, really.
I think the other part of that too is that that Summer of Games bumper is awesome, but Keighley's not content with the summer. He owns games all year, you know. Yeah, and I think he's hosting other publisher showcases. The Game Awards continues to be huge. Hit Summer of Games doesn't show any signs of slowing down. So I think your gut was in the right place that we're seeing a, you know, kind of a diversification of this big online event. But Game Awards was in person again for a select, you know, a curated crowd. And I think people want to get back together. So I think if it's safe, I could see E3 being in person again. And I could see maybe some big announcements coming out there if it is like a we're back baby moment. But I still also agree with, you know, what you were saying last year.
Yeah. I think this year is going to be a real interesting one, you know, to see how many are there PAXs, are there, you know, conventions of any kind?
Because I mean, there was Omicron a CES and that got record stretched real quick, right? You know?
Yeah.
So,
All right. This is the last of the bold predictions. It is yours. And it's pretty funny. Here we go.
Here's my last one. Hey, the Uncharted movie. That's it.
Good bold prediction. That's as much excitement as you'll get for it.
You know, we'll play that back in a year and it'll either be like, he was right, it was good, or he was right, he was being sarcastic. Nailed it. That's a win.
So you said, we'll play this back in a year and either he'll say he was right, it was good, or he was wrong, right, it was sarcastic. Neither, because the movie didn't come out.
Yeah, but you don't, you go in unsullied as someone who has been sullied and also has liked the character Sully. So far, that prediction is 100% correct, Jeff. 100%.
Hey, the Uncharted movie.
Yeah. I mean, the even the first, I want it to be good and I hope it is, but even the first poster, it's like, it just looks like two actors were on a green screen and then they put them with like a shipwreck behind them and their eye lines are going to totally different places. it looks like a time travel thing of like young. It's like Mark Wahlberg looks like old Tom Holland. And it's just the weirdest poster because they're kind of in both neutral, just generic. Anyway, I hope it's good. But so far, that is 100% correct prediction.
Oh, there you have it. Uncharted the movie. All right. Next up, we're going to get Cool Ranchy on you, which means the predictions get even more out there on a limb. But first, I want to thank our first sponsor, which is Masterworks. With inflation at a 39-year high and rising on top of volatile stock markets, there's never been a better time to rethink your portfolio mix. Think about diversifying your portfolio today with fine art. According to Citi, art significantly outpaced the S&P 500 from 1995 to 2020, which means when the market drops, a well-diversified art portfolio might not. And the Wall Street Journal called the art market one of the hottest on earth. Not to mention the ultra-wealthy have been diversifying their portfolios with artwork for generations. And now, with Masterworks, you can too. Masterworks is democratizing the art market by allowing everyday investors to own a piece of iconic paintings from blue-chip artists like Picasso, Warhol, and Banksy at an affordable entry point. So, while making great art is difficult, investing in it is easier than ever. Even better, they're giving DLC listeners priority access to their newest offerings. Start building an intelligent portfolio today at masterworks.art/DLC. That's masterworks.art/DLC. See important disclaimers at masterworks.io/disclaimer. All right, Christian, let us get into the cool ranches. Do you remember your cool ranches from last year, or are you going in blind?
I started to look because I do keep a note stock, and then I like going in blind. So it's so much fun that I put it away.
All right, here we go. Your first cool ranch prediction. The flavor profile getting just so much more potent in the mouth. Here we go.
I think we get a new Switch this year.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I've had a new, yes, new Switch, no new Switch every year.
Yes, you have. Literally every year. Yes. Yep.
So I think this is the yes, new Switch, but no Breath of the Wild and no Metroid Prime 4. I think
it's pretty obvious that Metroid Prime 4 ain't happening. What do you think the new Switch hardware has? You think it's got beefier processing in it, or is it just like a bigger form factor or sharper display, or what do you think changes?
I mean, ultimately, I think nothing that matters.
Spystradamus, ladies and gentlemen.
Whew, I thought you were going to get me there when I kept talking, but yeah, that's a big correct.
Nothing that matters.
Hey, don't tell my wife that when I try to buy this big OLED I'm trying to buy for the house, though.
the Nintendo way introduced new hardware that we all buy for no reason whatsoever. I'm impressed. That was pretty good. That was a Spystradamus for sure, man. Well done.
That was a swing and a hit, but you know, even in Little League, you get a hit when you close your eyes sometimes.
I think you're trouncing me right now, but let's take a look at Oh, by the way, have you noticed the music bed has gotten more intense because we're in cool ranch country now.
Yeah, I love it. It's perfect. Yeah,
it's more intense. All right, here we go. Here's my first cool ranch prediction from 2021.
Microsoft purchases Take-Two.
No way.
No way indeed. It turns out no way is correct. I don't know what there is else to say about that. I was summarily wrong.
Hey, because maybe in 20 years, Microsoft will say they tried to, and that Take-Two laughed them out of the room, and they'll share part of the letter, you know? Yeah, so there's a chance. There's still a chance.
Last year, I will point out, we had an incredible batting average on these predictions. I mean, incredible. So again, go back and listen to last year's.
Or just listen to mine from this year. We're talking about
Christian's doing pretty good.
I'm doing okay. I know where this goes.
Here's Christian's second cool ranch prediction.
I think we get a big streaming AAA exclusive.
Like I just laughed at it.
I mean, that is getting wrecked. I got wrecked. But there is Microsoft coming day and date with their first party exclusives on the cloud on Game Pass. I think that shows a lot. They're not exclusives to the cloud, but I think that shows a lot of confidence to be like, yeah, you can play Halo Infinite or Forza Horizon on the cloud. And that's the only way to experience, like, not every Game Pass game is cloud enabled. And for Microsoft to show that confidence, I think is huge. So yes, I got that prediction wrong, but I think my heart was in the right place.
You're always like, well, my heart. Yeah. I mean, you went on to say, I didn't leave it in the clip, but you went on to say that, you know, maybe it's one of these Jade Raymond Studios things that she's leading up at Stadia. Yeah. All sad, very sad. All went crashing to the ground. All right. So got wrecked. Let's listen to my second cool ranch prediction.
Legislation completely changes the way mobile games are monetized. Like, literally, there is legislation passed in 2021 that forces mobile game developers to change. It forces a lot of games to stop existing, or stop being sold, or stop being offered in the stores. And it changes the way these games can monetize.
Not so much. Not so much.
I do like your faith in our government to get anything done through legislation.
I really thought it was going to come to a head this last year. I really thought all of that, sort of getting kids to gamble side of it was going to really be a position that politicians were going to grab onto and kind of force something through. But, you know, nope.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think NFTs and blockchain kind of grabbed all those, and the Facebook whistleblower. Like, there was enough other tech nightmares that the U.S. government and governments around the world can't comprehend. I don't think they had time to dip into mobile games. But I hope they do. And the Roblox stuff we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you know, the industry is ripe for it. And it really bothers me when people from like Facebook or even game studios or whatever be like, we welcome regulation. We need it. We welcome it. And then also secretly they lobby billions of dollars to prevent any from happening.
Right. Yeah.
It's a bummer.
And that was one, you know, that honestly I'd like to see happen because I think that seeing my kids engage with apps is horrifying.
Oh, dude, did you read the Square Happy New Year letter?
No.
From the president or CEO? I'm going to misquote it, but I mean, this is a fun show, but it talks about like their entry into play to earn and NFTs and how it's going to change the landscape. And it just really, to me, read as like, bleak.
Yeah.
Just bleak.
But you know, there's a hopeful side to all that stuff. I don't know. I remain hopeful that there's going to be a company that kind of does NFT in a consumer forward, interesting, useful way. They build a product around it instead of.
Well, is this a Cool Ranch? Are we in Cool Ranch predictions?
No, I'm just hopeful. I'm just hoping. I'm not saying it's gonna happen. I'm just hoping. Because it's, you know, it's upon us regardless. So I have to hold out hope that somebody is going to actually lead the way and show how to do it in a responsible and not predatory way. Right? Right, everybody? 22
this is where
is
I don't say
hope.
Anything and let 20, you keep talking.
22 is full of hope. All right, here we go. Cool Ranch, number 3 from Christian Spicer.
I think we get a new Apple TV that finally embraces gaming in a way. Like, I don't know if it comes bundled with the controller. I think there's real value in that for them. And I think this is the year they do it.
It's the year they do it, Christian. This is the year they do it. The Apple TV with a controller, maybe?
I mean, they did it, but it was a company called Backbone that brought, you know, made gaming more serious on iOS devices. And I love my Backbone. Maybe Backbone was end of 2020. It hasn't happened. It's so frustrating because there are some gems there. And what some of these Mac Silicon computers can do. But yeah, I got wrecked.
It baffles me that they haven't done that already. It baffles me. I guess they don't want it to alienate the iPhone, iPad users in some way, or they don't want to, you know, bifurcate that kind of audience. Yeah. But it doesn't make any sense to me. If you're making an Apple TV, like, make it a console. Why not? You've got Apple Arcade. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, make it a full console. Anyway, wrecked.
Anyway, right. I agree with what you said, but also you wrong.
All right. So I've been rope-a-doping. I've been getting a lot of wrecks. I think my tide is about to start turning with these Cool Ranch predictions. Here we go. A centerpiece of Microsoft's Summer Direct presentation, whatever they call it, is a unveiling of Starfield, which won't be coming until 2022, and then it's delayed to 2023. But hey, nailed it. Right?
I'd say correct, but I don't know if it was it's like a triple, right? Because like Starfield, I still don't know what it is.
Well, yeah, we didn't see, you know, like a detailed gameplay presentation, but it was like the big coming out party for Starfield. We saw like a little bit of, we saw that tiny little gameplay thing of a game, the dude in the ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was, and we got a release date. We got like a release date then. Yes. It was the centerpiece of their presentation. That's what I said.
And again, it is a great prediction. I think the only little is at the very beginning. I don't know if it was a centerpiece.
Come on. It was, we had Todd Howard sitting down with what's his bucket, you know?
Phil Spencer?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I'll give you a home run, but technically it was scored as a throwing error when you rounded third. Okay.
All right. All right, Christian. Well, if you want to have your own home run, check this one out.
Sony makes a big buy.
Oops. Hang on. Do it again.
Sony makes a big buy.
It's a developer that is a get, is what you're saying.
If it wasn't Square Enix, I would say it'd be Eidos. You know, like that. But that's what I'm... That's what I'm... Oh, Bluepoint in the chat. Yeah. But Bluepoint, I don't think it's... Yes, they should acquire Bluepoint, but I don't think that's the home run. I don't know quite who it is, but I think they do. And I think you're like... Everybody's like, oh.
Everybody was like, oh. They acquired Bluepoint. I mean, so you kind of discounted that, but they did acquire Bluepoint and Housemarque and Nixxes Software and Firesprite. I mean, it wasn't IDOS.
Right. I do like the way I was still making baseball metaphors a year ago as I continue to make them today.
Yeah.
But Sony played a wonderful game full of small ball. You know, they bunted the runner over. They had squeeze plays going. They had the infield shift on and they hit it through the gap. Like smart acquisitions, but yes, nothing as splashy as Bethesda or even Insomniac, Bethesda by Microsoft,
yeah,
or Insomniac by Sony before, but some smart acquisitions that I think are going to pay off. I would call that like a correct, you know, like not wrecked, but also not correct. It's like, right. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I think you did pretty good there. I mean, because we had seen Sony purchase Insomniac, right? But they hadn't really been like buying people up like Microsoft was. And I think that was, you know, that was a cool ranch prediction. That was pretty cool ranchy, you know? So well done. Well done. All right. Now we get to Knosticator. Yeah, there you go.
Knosticated.
I was Knosticated earlier. Now we're all right. This one is.
This one's special just for you, Christian. Just for you. PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now are combined into a new service called PlayStation Plow. PS Plow, that's the name. That name again is PS Plow.
Yeah, baby!
Jeff was right. Jeff was right. You're too early. I think you're too. That's the thing. It's still just a rumor, right? It's a Bloomberg rumor.
We know it's happening, Christian.
If I can help it. I am texting all of the C-level suite execs I know over at Sony, and I'm like, dear God, if you are real, let Tom Brady score a winning touchdown with 14 seconds left in the game, and also, don't do PS Plow.
PS Plow! It's happening!
We'll see. But a great cool rant prediction for sure. Like, and to have that leak, you know, come out this year, it was a great prediction. And it was great fun on the show for an entire year, too.
Yeah. All right. You had one last cool ranch last year. And we'll see if it came to pass.
You're going to be eating your words when PS Plow happens.
Well, you'll be eating your words when Lone Echo 2 is your game of the year.
So it wasn't my game of the year. I think it was number 3 on my list, but pretty close, Christian. Pretty close. I
mean, yeah, you just didn't make it game of the year to spite me. That's
you like, yeah. I don't think that was very cool, Ranchy, with my love of the first Lone Echo, but I did appreciate that. Number 3 on my list. So yeah, pretty darn close, Christian. Pretty darn close. All right. And now, the final Cool Ranch prediction. Hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I have one last Cool Ranch prediction.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I mean, plow me over, buddy.
This is the Cool Ranch prediction to end them all. Every game is delayed. Every single game. All of them. Every game, Christian. Every single game. All of them delayed. Every game. Yes!
With that music bed under it, you sound like the villain in an Uncharted game, right? Like,
I had so much fun with that one. I was like, oh my God, it is that moment with like there's like an open fire and you see it reflected in my eyeballs, you know, and I'm just like cackling.
Jeff, we need to get you out of here. The iceberg is crashing down. It's we're not going to make it. Jeff.
Yeah.
I mean, so, they weren't, but a hell of a prediction.
I mean, name one game that wasn't. You can't do it. It can't be done.
Metroid Dread.
Yeah, no, exactly. You can't.
My game of the year.
It can't be done. It's impossible. And in fact,
Jeff was right, and it really pisses Christian off that Jeff was right, and it really pisses Christian off that Jeff was right, and it
cause he was right.
Everything is delayed.
Jeff was right.
Oh, you know what? 9 years, and it was all worth it for just that one moment. That right there.
I mean, a great prediction, but you swung too hard and you got a little curveball in there. But yes, a great Cool Ranch prediction, my friend, and worth it just for the bumper.
Yes. Like, special thanks to Sean Madigan for that incredible bumper. It has been a joy. And you know what?
Before your eyes, another one of my games of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You cannot name a single game.
Rocket League Sideswipe. I'm just listing games I didn't know were coming out.
Yeah. And just because, you know, just because the year is over doesn't mean that bumper has to go away. Jeff was right. We'll be around, ladies and gentlemen. It will continue.
I hope so. We haven't gotten to the predictions yet. We'll see.
All right. That, ladies and gentlemen, was our reckoning from last year. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. I think, Christian, you did real well. It's just, you know, I came in there at the end and just gloriously.
I did. I had really great, accurate predictions, and you came in with really funny memes.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks to everybody that you know kept up with us over the year and kept reminding Christian that
Jeff was right.
Yep. Anyway, okay, let's move on and talk about some of the games that we know about that are coming in 2022.
None. Zero.
Yeah, it turns out they're all delayed. But we, you know, these are all games that were supposed to come out in 2021. There are a number of big anticipated games. In fact, you know, dozens. And we're not going to be able to get to all of the games that we know about. And so many of them, I think, will probably be pushed. You know, this is how video game development works. A lot of these games that are slated for 2022 might not make it. But
two game of the year sequels, two DLC favorite game of the year sequels are both lined up for the same calendar year.
Wow, that's true. That's Horizon Forbidden West and God of War Ragnarok, both of which we thought were coming out last year or this last year, and both haven't. It seems pretty clear that at least Horizon is coming out, right? Because yeah, that's happening in February. I doubt that game will be pushed, and even if it does get pushed, it probably won't be pushed a few weeks, if anything. I mean, I am very, very, very excited about that game. I think the only downside about Horizon Forbidden West is that if it had come out, you know, in November of this year, it probably would have won a bunch of Game of the Year awards, probably ours, You know, I'm guessing the game's going to be fantastic based on its pedigree. And now this year, if it comes out in 2022, it potentially could be just completely ignored by the end of the year by games like Starfield and God of War Ragnarok and Breath of the Wild 2, if those games make it in this calendar year, which is...
Yeah, it could be 2022's Resident Evil 8.
Yeah.
You know, like an incredible game that shows the performance of what next gen can be, and then the year continues, and a few people talk about it, and it sells well, but it's not, you know, the year stopper that it otherwise could have been. But that said, I'm so dang excited for next month because...
Me too.
Oh, gosh, man. That game looks good.
It really, really does. It looks gorgeous. It looks thrilling and fun. It looks like an expansion of what we, as you said, already considered to be the best game of the year. The first one came out. So, yeah, I mean, I'm counting down the days to that. And February is going to be chock full of incredible releases. But top of my list for sure is Horizon Forbidden West. Let's talk about some other games that we know about. I know one that you are excited for is Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League.
Yeah, this isn't even a bold prediction. I don't think that makes this year. That's really? In October.
It's yeah.
In October. They announced it with an October 2022. I hope I'm right. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. Sorry. I hope I'm right. Just to be right. I hope I'm wrong because that gameplay they showed at, I think it was Game Awards reveal, looks fantastic. And I love those characters. I love Harley Quinn, Eat, Bang, Kill, Tour of the Comic, which is the continuation of the Harley Quinn HBO Max animated show. I love Captain Boomerang. And I love that he seems to be a focus, at least so far, of this game. I mean, Jeff was right. An October release date to me says... Nope.
Anything that has an October release date, anything that has an end of the year release date is just like, you're just pretending that you're coming out this year.
Yeah, that's not a certain first person shooter franchise. Otherwise, I'm just like, that's not happening this year. Yeah. Yes, I'm very excited for it whenever it decides to come out.
Yeah, I mean, we've been waiting for a new game from Rocksteady, you know, for so long. I think there's been a number of years where we've predicted the new Rocksteady game was going to be announced and it wasn't. I think it looks more colorful and vibrant, more interesting than just another Arkham game, which I'm just glad they're kind of breaking out and doing something fresh and visually interesting too. So I know you're really anticipating that. I'm hopeful that it comes out this year. I feel like they waited so long to announce it, maybe. But, you know, anytime, like you said, anytime that the announcement comes this far from the release date, so much can happen in between.
Yeah, like another variant that shuts the world down in a big way.
Yep.
Yeah. I looked back at our 8 years of game of the year for the show.
Yeah.
And the first year we actually didn't do an official consensus, but I just made it Shadow of Mordor because it was on all of our lists of that year, but we didn't do like a, hey, let's circle the wagons and see what the, you know, what the shows is. Mm-hmm. Every year, except for last year, 2021, it was a third person action game. 2021 was the first time the show's game of the year was not a third, did I say first person? A third person, not a third person action game. And so as I was looking at this list for, you know, rumored 2022 games, there are a lot of really great third-person action games.
Well, the reason for that, of course, is that you and I have very different tastes in games, but one big overlap point is that we love third-person action games.
Yes.
So it's, you know, where our lists often are very, very different at the top, there's some place in our lists, our top
five. The Venn
five.
Diagram overlaps.
Yeah, exactly. So we tend to, you know, have to compromise on that. And it's cool that I think it's cool that Forza won this year. But yeah, I mean, if Ragnarok comes out, you know, I have a hard time believing it won't be completely wonderful. I mean, I think that God of War 2018 reboot game is one of the finest video games ever crafted. You know, I think that Ragnarok, I have complete faith in Corey Barlog and that team. And I just think that game is going to be something special. So, the question is it going to make 2022? You know, I think that's a big question mark. It's slated for 2022, but we know how game development goes. So I would put the money on that being our game of show if it makes it. Mm. But, you know, maybe it won't. And maybe it's not.
I have let's see, four that aren't third-person action games that I'm super excited about.
Hit me with
whole like different genre. So
okay.
I've talked about it on this show last year, 2021. They got a little hands-on time with it, and that's Ollie Ollie World.
Yeah, that game looks great.
Very excited for that, and I think it still serves as a breath of fresh air in the dark world many of us still find ourselves in. Very excited for that. Oxenfree 2, Lost Signals, which looks to be a return to a dark world. The first Oxenfree is a beautiful game, but what a it's a gut punch. it's hard to say that that's like a happy game.
Right.
Splatoon 3, which I don't know if makes, that's the one I probably of these four I'm least certain of making 2022.
I mean, also third person action game.
I mean, it's not though, right? it's like an arena shooter.
Right.
I think feels different to me. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, which looks so I love brawlers. I love beat 'em ups. I love turtles. I have the arcade one up, you know, Turtles in Time and TMNT arcade at home. And Shredder's Revenge looks to be doing everything, you know, visually that I'd want a game to do.
Yeah.
And I think that has a really good chance of hitting this year as well, because it's already kind of suffered through some delays.
Yeah.
And I think of those four, I think one thing that kind of appeals, Oxenfree again is kind of the outlier, but the other three are bright, you know?
Yeah.
And they just seem cheery in a way that not all games do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're going to laugh at me, I probably, and this is a third person action game, but one of the games I'm genuinely most excited about is the Avatar game from Ubisoft, Frontiers of Pandora.
I feel like Ubisoft games, they either come out and they're like clockwork or they're skull and bones, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, I think this one is coming out. It may not come out this year, but it, I think it comes out. I mean, the movie is supposed to be coming out like for sure-sies, in December. Okay. It's been delayed a bazillion times, right? So maybe that messes with it in some way. Like maybe the movie gets delayed and so the game gets delayed, or maybe the game just gets delayed. But, you know, I'm super excited about the movie. And I think that game, that Frostbite engine,
it's beautiful.
It's stunning. And I think it's going to be, I mean, I really dig open world Ubisoft games, you know? Immortal Phoenix Rising.
Yeah. I said, I'm heads and tails on them. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but like, yeah, Immortals Phoenix Rising is incredible. Valhalla, I bounced off super quick.
Right.
Odyssey was fantastic. It's like Ghost Recon Wildland. One of them I loved. The other one I hated. I mean, right. Hate's a strong word, but like really bounced off. I'm very curious if they Far Cry 6, I didn't even play. I was just kind of burned out on that. I'm very curious if they re-examine their open world formula and kind of look to things like Halo, which is such a lighter approach, you know, to the collectathon, or even Horizon. I'm curious what Horizon Forbidden West does in that genre, and if Ubisoft does something new here, or if it's the best Ubisoft game with the Avatar skin. Is that enough for you, or are you hoping they do something new with this new IP that they haven't done anything with before?
I mean, I suspect it's going to be pretty Ubisoft-y, but I think that that world, like, if you can fly on those things and you know, get around the world in really interesting ways, and it's really beautiful and the combat's cool, and maybe there's elements of being in, you know, in the Avatar and out of the Avatar, I just think there's a lot of possibility for the kind of gameplay that I already like to be done in a beautiful, fun, thrilling way in a new setting. And I mean, a lot of people, I get a lot of crap on on the film cast for my love of Avatar, but I genuinely love that first movie, and I think these sequels are going to be really cool, and I'm genuinely looking forward to being in that world and playing around and doing stuff that I like to do in open world games, you know? So I think it's going to be good, and I think they're putting tons of money into it. You know, it's going to be a showcase for their engine. It's going to be like this, their big kind of next gen coming out party. I just think there's a lot riding on that game too, and it's going to be good. You're going to make it good.
I hope so. I mean, the other side of Ubisoft, of course, is the dysfunction and garbage people there. And then also, I think it was it December of last year, the article about like the exodus of Ubisoft employees, and some because of cultural stuff and some because other studios are just recruiting because some of the best are working there. So they're getting poached. And well, I'm curious if any of that upheaval is going to affect their pipeline.
Well, to be fair, this is massive, right? This the developer is massive who did Division. So I don't know how autonomous they are or how Ubisoft-y they are. I don't know how all that works. So I don't want to speculate. But I also have visited Massive a number of times, and they make awesome games. I think the Division games are awesome, were awesome, started out a little rocky and got even more awesome. Like, I think I have a lot of confidence in that developer too.
I will close cab doors on Pandora all day.
Yeah, exactly. in another game, you know, if it makes this year, I kind of feel like there's a question mark if it'll make this year, is Marvel, what is it, Dark Suns? Midnight Suns.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that game, has a potential to be a game that I really fall in love with, because, you know, obviously I love Marvel and I love Firaxis and I love, you know, tactical RPGs, and I just think, you know, it could be a game that I really love. But again, yeah, I mean, does it come out this year? Who knows? It's a late 2022 slated release, and that's fraught with peril.
I mean, this is a cool ranch level prediction, but with Marvel doing more licensed stuff with X-Men characters, like Marvel Game Studios again, I think we might get a pretty good X-Men style something very soon on the TV film side of things.
Obviously, or
maybe they're just playing with those licenses again, but like they killed them when Fox owned them.
Yeah.
And now we're getting Wolverine, and the X-Men are kind of front and center in Midnight Suns and some of those characters, same with Fantastic Four. So all of that gives me very excited to see, you know, that coming out party for those characters I love.
Yeah. There's so many games to talk about that are slated for 2022.
It's bonkers.
It's bonkers. Yes. We have to talk about Starfield, right? Because that game has a date, not just a window. It has a date. Of course, Bethesda Studios, you know, makes things that take a long time, puts things out that are buggy often. But they are massive, massive games. Do you think Starfield makes its date? Maybe I'm stepping on one of your bold predictions, but do you think it makes
it? No, it's not. Yeah. The money's no, right? The money's, right. And Microsoft has shown, I think, their testament, right? Like their courage, if you want to call it that, but like the willingness to delay a major game. I mean, they launched a new console with kind of nothing, you know, like they relied on the catalog and the library and Game Pass, and Halo had a long, long delay. So I think if they showed that willingness with Halo and 343 and then acquiring Bethesda and still allowing them their independence, they have to know there's a good chance that it doesn't see its date, right?
I guess, but I also feel like with everything, I mean, I don't know how these internal decisions work, so it's hard to speculate, but it feels like with everything that you know, why write that date in stone? You know, why do that to yourself if there's any chance? But I guess, you know, stuff happens. And
I mean, why does any studio done it? I mean, Midnight Suns, which we just talked about, right, was announced, given a date, and then immediately delayed.
It really was very fast. How fast their date was, like, no.
Which is how I play Firaxis games, by the way. I make a move, immediately regret it, and have to dial it back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's such a huge year for all of these games. Breath of the Wild 2, is that, I get it. It's weird to not try to step on predictions here, but like that Starfield.
I mean, if
just massive like games.
There's no way all of these games come out, but I mean, you know,
unless they do,
but if God of War Ragnarok, Breath of the Wild 2, Starfield, those could all come out within weeks of each other at the end of the year. You know, Suicide Squad. It could be a massive stacked fall. But again, not all the, I mean, Marvel's Midnight Suns might be in there.
Whatever Nintendo's fall is, right? Like Bayonetta 3 is rumored.
Yeah.
And Pokemon's like next week.
Yeah. So Pokemon comes very fast. Yeah.
Super excited for that. But what's their end of the, I mean, is it Breath of the Wild? Is there
that's
nothing
my
else?
Prediction. I think Breath of the Wild is their fall game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I cannot see that game coming out any earlier, or we would have already been hearing stuff about it, I think.
This year has the, what was it, 84 or 88 was the movie year of like all the best movies ever. Year has potential to be that.
Not all of those games are going to make it. The odds of all of them coming out, I feel like, is very low. But
if you had to pick one, okay, you're given of the games, you know, announced games for 2022, you can force one to come out this year. And then you have to delay one. What do you delay and what are you forced to release?
I think, I mean, I would force Starfield to release because I really want to play that game. And then if I had to delay one, I am not super excited about Breath of the Wild 2, but I think I would force God of War Ragnarok to delay because I feel like, Horizon Forbidden West delaying into February kind of is a good thing for me personally.
You get me? Nothing. Goodbye.
I got to play through Halo at the end of the year. Yeah. You know, I got to like, I didn't have to, you know, digest another 40-hour experience at the right at the end of the year when the holidays are crazy and all that stuff's already happening. So I don't know. I kind of feel like that. If I'm already going to be playing 100 hours of Starfield, I don't need a 60-hour Ragnarok to be there as well alongside everything else that's coming out. But yeah, it's just me personally.
I think Starfield's the one I would force. I mean, assuming it's baked, right? Like I'm able to have like a finished game come out.
That's the presumption. It's not just like force it to come out regardless of its state. Yeah.
Right. But I think Starfield, I have so many questions because hearing Todd Howard talk about it, it's, you know, it's not Skyrim, it's realistic, but it's still the Bethesda DNA. And I feel like, you know, we were talking about just a few minutes ago about Avatar and about that Ubisoft is going to take a swing and kind of do something different. And it seems like Starfield is that for Bethesda. And I find that super exciting because Skyrim and Fallout are very different games. But with like a similar spine, you might say, you know? And I'm curious how Starfield kind of fits into that mold. Because when you have two, that's just two. You have three, you have a pattern. And is Starfield a pattern of that, like, this is the structure, but here's where it lives out on this branch of its own to craft its own thing? Or is Starfield, I'm just mixing metaphors all over the place, is Starfield its own book? You know, something entirely new Bethesda.
If I had to guess, I think it's going to be spine and it's just going to – it's going to have a different tone. It's going to feel like those games. It's going to feel like you're going to have all that choice. You're going to have all that role playing. You're going to have all these different factions to think about and join and stories to explore and different quests to take up. And I think it's going to feel like those games. It's just going to be, you know, Fallout's future is so bleak and so dark. And I'm really hoping that Starfield is that hopeful, more positive take on the future, which isn't super present in video games right now or any media for that matter, because everything is so bleak. So that's what I'm hoping for, that it really feels more like, the positive sort of Star Trek, I don't want it to feel like Star Trek, but you know what I mean? That the tone of Star Trek, which is like, there's no infinite possibility out there in the stars. You know,
to some extent, Mass Effect 1, right?
Like, right,
Mass Effect 1 was, and all of them were a little hopeful until kind of the end.
Right.
But there is that like hopeful wonder exploration and not a, you know, treachery of this path of revenge.
Well, I think honestly, I mean, we haven't talked about Starfield at length on the show. And, you know, I don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole here, but because we got a lot of the other stuff to get to. But I think one of the biggest challenges for them, and I'm so curious how they figure it out, is part of the magic of a Bethesda Studios game like Skyrim and Fallout is you are plopped down in this place and you can go anywhere and do anything. And it's all seamless. And you walk there and you see that mountain, get to the top of it. You see that, you know, burnt out subway station, walk to the bottom of it. And yes, there are loading times in all those games, but the world is interconnected and feels like I walk through a door and I go to a place and I look on the map and I walk over here, and it is all a seamless world. How do you do that in space, right? And moreover, how do you do that when, if you're going to multiple different worlds? Part of the thing that has always bugged me about games like Mass Effect is a world is like, you know, four rooms in a place. You know, you go to a whole new world and you see one town there or whatever. You know, this is the world that has that crazy bar, you know? And it's like, well, there's more to the world than this one location. But that's how it is. It's like, you know, Skyrim's different cities or Fallout's different, you know, locations or suburbs of Boston or whatever, you know, whatever city Fallout is located in that iteration. Like, they all feel different, right? But they're all interconnected. They're all on the map. And I have never been sold on this notion that, or it has always felt sort of false to me with the fiction of a science fiction premise, that you go to a world, an entire planet, and all you get to see is, you know, what you see in Mass Effect 1, which is like one starport or whatever. And I think if they can make it really feel like the universe is large and interconnected, and there's variety even on an individual planet, I think that will be a triumph.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that it is hard to do in these role-playing games, right? Because like you mentioned, yeah, you're landing on a planet. What is this whole planet like? If you landed in the port of Los Angeles or, you know, in Long Beach, it's very different than if you're
in Cuba or yeah, exactly.
It's India.
Right. It's, yeah. You know, Australia outback or, you know, or the African plains. It's like, it's a planet is varied and interesting and wild. And you know, and that has always, it always made the universe seem really small when it's like, oh, it's just I think one spaceport. You know?
Yeah. And I think a lot of that kind of comes from other forms of fiction where it's a little more acceptable, like Star Wars. I don't know what else is on Bespin, right?
Right.
I'm sure somewhere I've read something about, is Cloud City the only city? I don't know. And like, or like Tatooine.
Yeah,
there's
right.
There's one city in Tatooine, except for the other little times where you go somewhere. But like in those instances, it works because you're on this hero's journey and it's not about this, it's the whole world per se. It's what this character path is and these interesting places they go on. It's not. But in a role-playing game, I kind of want the freedom to go somewhere else.
Exactly.
And track something down. And how do they balance that narrative pull and also the exploration?
That's what Bethesda games have always been about, is that freedom to go anywhere, right? You're in Skyrim and you can
go to the mountain.
Exactly. Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So how do you do that on an entire planet or multiple planets?
See the planet, go to the planet and visit the one spaceport.
That's the problem. That I think is the inherent problem with that kind of fiction. So I don't know. Anyway, that's a lot of talking about Starfield, but I think it's, you know, it's clearly
2023's game of the year.
Yeah, 2023. Yeah. Yeah. Let me take a quick break and thank our sponsor. And then there's a few more games I want to get to before we get to our predictions for 2022. Let me thank our sponsor. Oh, HelloFresh. HelloFresh is our sponsor. And I love HelloFresh. I made a HelloFresh meal for my family yesterday, in fact, and do so multiple times a week, three times a week, in fact, because I'm on the three-time-a-week plan, the family plan is what we do. It's awesome. And you know that the holidays can be hectic. You know the new year is hectic. Why not make things simple? Let HelloFresh make things simple for you with recipes that can cut back on meal prep and cleanup so that you can spend less time in the kitchen and more quality time with your friends and your family. This is what I do. I love being able to cook a fresh meal for my family from scratch. It is such a satisfying feeling to give my family food that I made for them, my kids. I'm like, I made this for you. And it expands our diet, our menu week to week. Isn't the same old stuff that you know, if I was left to my own devices and I had to figure out what food we were going to have, I'd come up with the same three or four things over and over because I am terrible at this stuff. But with HelloFresh, I'm getting a choice of over 50 menu and market items to choose from every single week. Now, that can sound overwhelming. It isn't. I have so much fun getting on the app with HelloFresh and picking out my meals week to week, getting, you know, favorites that I've had from years before, having so much variety to choose from, getting excited about what those meals are going to be in the weeks ahead. And then pre-measured ingredients come to my house, fresh, pre-measured, pre-portioned ingredients. These are seasonal recipes, and I don't have waste. I'm not getting more of something than I need. Like if I went to the grocery store and bought stuff for a recipe that I found, invariably I'm going to have extra that's just going to go bad in my fridge and I'll throw it out and I'll feel bad. No, with HelloFresh, I get exactly what I need. It's pre-portioned. It's easy. The instructions to cook are simple. They've got pictures. It just makes my life better. I mean, I had stuff like pecan-crusted salmon. It's amazing. I mean, I wasn't going to make that without HelloFresh. I love it. And they also have, you know, extra stuff like desserts. Pretty cool. You save money. On average, they say over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. It's pretty awesome. There's really, I've been, you know, such an advocate for HelloFresh for years now. I pay for it every week. Happily, it saves me money, it makes my life better, and it makes me enjoy cooking. So go to HelloFresh.com/DLC14. Use our code DLC14 for up to 14 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's quite the deal. HelloFresh.com/DLC14 and promo code DLC14 for up to 14 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. All right, Christian. So there's a few games that are not the sort of big marquee games, but I'm so curious what you think of them. Games like Forspoken.
I think that is a big marquee game to some extent based on Amy and Gary and like the pedigree behind the writing and story there. It's a third person action game. I mean, she doesn't have red hair, but it is a female protagonist.
Right.
It is a game that kind of came out of nowhere for me. And I'm super curious about it. It because it's not, you know, this major franchise, I'm not like chomping at the bit for it, but because it is a new IP, I'm probably rooting for it to succeed more than I am a lot of the other games on this list that feel like safer bets. Like this is a new entry into my favorite genre of third-person action games, narrative heavy third-person action games. And I also talk about how I love powers, right? Like games that use powers. And this seems to have all of those things. I'm very hopeful for it. Where do you kind of land on it?
I'm really hopeful for it. I keep seeing, you know, videos. They've shown a bunch of gameplay for it, and it looks really awesome. It looks up my alley. And yet, there's this little voice in the back of my head that gets a little worried about it. And I don't know what that's based on, but I definitely feel like there's a potential for that game to be disappointing. And I don't know what that uh-oh feeling is coming from per se, because it looks gorgeous. It looks like, you know, AAA all the way. It is, as you said, it comes from developers we like. I just don't, there's something about it that makes me a little worried. I hope I'm wrong, because again, I like these kinds of games.
Yeah. My only reservation initially was like how much talky there kind of seemed like she seemed so impressed by herself, but like, it seemed like late game stuff from like, you've been doing this for 10 hours now, you know what you're doing. But then Guardians came out and showed me that like talking self-doubt for 15 hours can be very fun.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Anyway, that game is slated to be out in May, which I think is actually pretty darn good, time frame for it, because it feels like I'll have time to kind of enjoy that game. It won't be up against a bunch of other games. Oh. We'll see if it slips, but
yeah, I thought they released it as it may come out in 2022.
That's all games. The other big question mark for me that I want to know what you think about is Redfall. Because we both love Arkane Studios. This is Bethesda's, you know, Arkane's big new IP. What do you think? You think Redfall is going to be a game that you are in love with?
I hope so. But I guess maybe this is my forespoken. I really want to be, but there's a little voice in the back of my head. And I think it's because I don't know what it is yet. Mm. I'm curious if it's leaning more into the competitive stuff that was in Deathloop, you know, like are one people vampire? It's like we saw that really stylish CG trailer, and there's been some more information out about the game, but not a whole lot. Like Forspoken, we've seen a lot of gameplay. Redfall is still a big question mark for me. And I think the only other reason I'm a little like fingers crossed, but not, you know, chomping at the bit, circling the date on my calendar and being like, if everything holds, I'm taking the day off work today, you know, kind of thing, was then going back from Halo to Deathloop and having that shooting feel just a little off, you know, not quite as smooth, which is kind of unfair, I think, where it's like Halo 343 nailed classic Halo feel, but then also gave you the grapple shot,
right.
You know, but something about Deathloop going back to it there to wrap it up before the end of the year last year, it felt dishonored. You know, there's a feeling to those games that I think maybe as a controller player, they've never quite felt as smooth to me. All that said, the atmosphere, the environment, the characters, the animations, the vibe they're laying down with what they're showing with Redfall is all 100% up my alley. So I hope it has that, you know, elements of beautiful inventiveness and level design and kind of find your way. And then I hope it's not overly reliant on people better than me coming into my game and killing me.
Right. Yeah. A couple of other games that are at the top of my list of excitement. Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. I love that first Mario plus Rabbids game. And I have a spark of hope that this will come out this year and will be a joy. And in the same vein, you know, with the sort of turn-based sort of tactical game, Metal Slug Tactics is a game I'm very, very excited for as well. Are there any other? Yeah, another big question mark. I don't know if it's coming out this year. Probably not coming out this year. I'm really excited about Sonic Frontiers. I'm super hopeful that game is good.
Yeah, I think that'll make this year. I think it was supposed to be last year originally. Like it was a delay. Even announcing it kind of got delayed as they realized they wouldn't hit 2021. I'm very curious about that because I loved what they've done with the 2D Sonics, and I'm curious if they can nail a 3D Sonic, that'd be phenomenal.
Yeah. Any other things you want to bring up?
It's a big AAA game, but I mentioned Suicide Squad a lot because of the two. I think that's the one I'm most excited about. But Gotham Knights has me very intrigued. I'm curious how they handle the multiplayer approach. It's also interesting that Suicide Squad is the continuation of the Arkham franchise, but yet it doesn't have Batman prominently featured in it, and Gotham Knights has all of the Bat family prominently featured in it, but yet it is not, they say, of that universe. So I'm curious how it kind of handles that, because it looks tonally, it looks like the Arkham games, the way the suits are exist in that world, look like an extension of that. But apparently it's not of that universe. And I'm curious how that, and if it leans into a games as service style approach. I have a lot of question marks, but I really loved their last Arkham Origins after it got some patches. I thought it was a phenomenal game with a great story. So that is kind of a big curiosity for me is Gotham Knights.
It feels weird that game isn't out yet. It feels like we heard about it so long ago, and it just feels, I don't know. This is unfair of me to even say, but it just feels like You can just make another Arkham game, right?
but that's not what it is. Though. That's the thing. But I agree because it looks like it. Everybody's like, "Well, it's another Arkham," but they're like, "No, it's not. It's multiplayer. Yeah. It's, you know, all these other things. It's a different universe." And you're like, "Okay, cool. So it's another Arkham game."
Yeah. I don't know. That one to me is so not on my radar. It just feels like it already came out. It feels like been there, done that. And I know everything you've said is totally true. It's not. But of the two, I'm so much more interested in Suicide Squad, even though so much less interested in the Suicide Squad IP, you know, than I am the Batman IP, of course.
Total sidebar, and I mentioned it as a parting gift once on this show, and I think the fourth issue came out not too long ago. After it finishes its run, you need to go read the Batman 89 comic.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's phenomenal.
Really?
And it's like a continuation of Batman Returns. It's phenomenal.
We can't not talk about Elden Ring, even though I don't think it's a game either of us are super interested in.
We can not talk about it. So we have Anthony for it at the end.
Yeah, that is why we have Anthony. I think it's probably, other than Starfield, it's probably the most anticipated game of 2022, maybe Breath of the Wild in there as well. But, people
are hopeful. Sekiro was my most played Xbox game the year it came out.
There you go.
Like, yes, I played other platforms, but I put a lot of time into that game. So I'm intrigued, but I'm not a huge, I want to say Tolkien. Oh my gosh. That's how big of a nod. I'm not a huge
George R. R. Martin.
Yes. I like his stuff, but I'm not a rabid fan. So that doesn't do anything for me, but I think it does for a lot. I'm surprised you're not more high on that. Cause I think you are kind of big.
I am. I suspect he had only a marginal input into that game, who knows, but it's just so from software-y. I flirted with getting into from software games, and just it's never been my jam, even as much as I got into Dark Souls 2 for a while, and
yeah, we need Dan to play with you. Exactly. I feel like that's your fireplace in or whatever.
there are so many games one could even say that there are, but we're gonna miss tons that I'm sure people are really excited about, especially indie stuff. I know that, thank you for bringing up Ollie Ollie World and some of those other indie games. I know there's a bunch of indie games that I'm super excited about that are coming out. Even Sifu, like that's just in a few weeks.
Yeah,
super excited about that game. I've heard really good things about it. Jeff Grubb, I was talking to him and he's already played it. He says it's really great.
And then all the stuff we don't know about, the Metroid Dreads of this year.
Yeah. I'm curious how much of that is going to happen this year. I feel like there's going to be less of the, we didn't know it was coming and here it is in this year stuff. I just feel like with the way game development has gone the last couple of years because of COVID, I think that's going to happen less and less. But
or all the Devolver stuff, maybe. I feel like they've only released hits, like if you look at their catalog, it's pretty impressive. And I don't know if we know, I know they had their showcase, but like, I feel like they always have a surprise or a Death's Door or an Inscription,
The indie stuff is much more, a much shorter PR cycle. So there's less multiple year, teasing of that kind of stuff. And I think that's great. So there's more surprises, and there's always surprises in the year. I just think it's going to be less this year because of just the way game development is taking forever. But one of the things we don't do every year, and I should remember to do every year, but I'd like to do this year, is have you predict what your game of the year is going to be. Not our show's joint game of the year, but what do you think Christian Spicer is going to have at the top of your top five come the end of December 2022?
If they come out, I think it will, there's a good chance that it could be Suicide Squad or God of War.
Yeah.
I'm not full throated that either come out.
Yeah.
I'm not up here roaring, and as Simba, as the new king, that these games are coming out. I think God of War might have the heavier burden on it. Like what 2018 did, the single shot, bringing fresh air to a franchise that I loved, but was, dormant. And can Ragnarok be more of the same and still blow me away the same way? I think so. But like Suicide Squad, it's been so long since I've had an Arkham game that they just need to give me that combat really good again.
Yeah.
And I think I'll love it. What about you?
Again, if it comes out,
Starfield?
I think it's Starfield. Yeah. I would be shocked if it wasn't. If that game comes out and it, you know, lives up to the legacy of Bethesda Studios, I would be shocked if I don't love that game. But, you know, there's always a possibility.
Do you think there's any chance at Cyberpunk's?
I think there's absolutely that chance. I have more confidence. Well, it's easy to say now because I had a lot of confidence in CD Projekt Red. But I just, you know, I think it's a less
sorry,
of
hold
a,
on.
What just happened?
I don't know if you heard that. I don't know. There's an echo dot in this room and it just started yelling at me. I don't know what it was saying. Sorry. Go ahead.
Alexa, what's our game of the year going to be next year? I just set up a bunch of people's. I'm sorry, everyone. I think that is a real possibility. I definitely think here's the path for Starfield disappointing me personally. If it's about sort of getting in a spaceship and fiddling around with the specifics of propulsion, you know, this way and that way.
You're just making Lana mad now.
I do feel like I'm describing Outer Wilds, but that's what I mean. Like if it's like simulate a near future. What I want is the fantasy of space travel, not the difficulty of space travel.
Well, I mean, but Skyrim wasn't riding the horse even the way Red Dead was,
right?
You know,
exactly. Like, yeah, no, that's what I want. I want to feel awesome, right? I want to.
Yes,
Skyrim and Fallout even make you feel awesome, even when Fallout, you know, your guns are breaking and degrading and things like that. You're still awesome because you're constantly finding new things and repairing your stuff, and you know. So that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping it's much more the fantasy, the fun, the, you know, be the kind of person you want to be in space. But there's a lot of question marks for that game. I definitely think I could come the end of the year next year, I could be saying it's my biggest disappointment. I hope that's not the case, but.
Wow. I hope it flosses that needle of the narrative stuff that I always seem to get hung up on in Bethesda games of like, go find your son. It's the most important thing. And also open this barber shop. And I know it's a me thing, but I think like Outer Worlds and some other games have struck that balance that I really liked. And I'm curious to see Bethesda take another swing at it. Because Skyrim kind of, if I remember it correctly, and I'm not the person that has replayed it, you know, every time it releases, but I think it allowed for more of that. And Fallout specifically, I've always struggled with that of like this gargantuan earth-shattering task you need to do. Or do you want to build a fort for 20 hours? And I'm like, I kind of do.
Yeah. And that's very specific to you. That
yes. It, yes, it is. Yeah,
but I don't even know what the goal of Starfield is going to be, right? What is the story of it?
It's a farming sim and you're planting stars in a field.
I mean, I think that's another way it could be disappointing to me if it gets real survival-y. You know, where you're worried about your oxygen and you're worried about your food supply and all that stuff, all the tedium. Again, I will say I like the tedium of Bethesda games of managing my inventory and deciding what weapon is better and all that. That kind of tedium I eat up with a spoon. But the tedium of, you know, the survival-y kind of stuff and managing the specific engine of your ship and all of that stuff can get a little
which they've played dry. With in 70. I have not gone back to 76 in forever, but that had elements of that, right? Like food and shelter and crafting and that kind of approach. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I'm curious how much it leans into that.
Right.
And I wonder if I ever leave my home planet.
Well, there you go. That was a good question. All right, let's get to what everybody's been waiting for, which is making fools of ourselves for this year.
I did good last year, bro.
You did good. I will admit it. You did good. Spice Dronomus, beat the Canosticator. Although I came in strong at the end. We'll see how
so
I do this
good.
Year.
So good.
Let me thank our last sponsor, which of course, you know, is Squarespace. Man, if you have any reason to make a website, and let's face it, at some point, we all need a website for something, whether it's make it a blog or advertising your work or just putting up a portfolio or starting a business, having a business that you already have, selling stuff online. You're going to need a website at some point. And there's really no reason why you can't make it yourself. Squarespace gives you the tools to be able to make it yourself, easily create a website that's beautiful, that stands out. How, you ask? Well, you start with their awesome templates. These are templates created by expert designers. And then you just start messing around, dragging, dropping, making stuff your own. It's so simple. The tools are really easy to use. You don't have to learn HTML. You don't have to pay someone to make you a website. You can do it yourself. You can do it yourself. Do you want e-commerce functionality? Just drag and drop it right in. All of a sudden, you can sell stuff online. Customize the look and feel, all the settings, all the products. Just a few clicks allows you to do all of that. Everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. You don't have to worry about it. You don't ever have to update or patch anything. I'm telling you, it's the easiest way to make a website. So when you are ready to make a website, all you got to do is head over to squarespace.com/Jeff sent me. You get yourself a free trial. And then when you're ready to launch that website, use our offer code Jeff sent me, J-E-F-F-S-E-N-T-M-E, all one word. You save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. It's a great place to buy domains as well. You should check out their front end for buying domains. So simple, over 200 extensions. It's great. Thank you to Squarespace for supporting DLC. Use Squarespace, squarespace.com/Jeff sent me, and the promo code Jeff sent me for 10% off. All right, it is time, Christian. It is time. Let's start bold and get to Cool Ranch. You are welcome, my friend, to start us off with your first bold prediction for 2022.
Yeah, I texted you this. I think I have six. Oof, man, this year's hard. It always stinks to be like, oh, I did okay last year and then to wade into this. My first one, my friend, my first bold prediction, and one where I win either way. I either win because I'm right or I win because I'm wrong. And that it's that Game Pass gets a price increase.
Oh, no. I don't want you to be right. Boo.
We talked about all the reasons why I think it might happen.
Yeah.
On this show.
I think this is not the year that happens, honestly. I think
I hope so.
They're still in the race. You know, they're still in the thick of it. And I think what's actually going to happen is when PlayStation Plow comes out, you know, there's going to be this price war, and Microsoft won't be able to up the price. But maybe you're right.
I hope you're right. I see some. Oh, I'm not going to keep talking. What am I doing? No, it's like xCloud officially comes out of beta. You know, there's some nugget of a price increase somewhere, but not, you know. Or if you're locked in, don't worry. Or they'll announce it. You know, like next year it will go up to this much. So buy a bunch now or something like that. But I feel like we're on the cusp of that.
Yeah. All right. Good bold prediction. I mean, in the sense that it is depressing, but good. All right. My first bold prediction, I guess I'm doubling down a little bit from last year, but I will say, I think this year Nintendo is all in on Breath of the Wild 2. It is their fall game. It actually comes out this fall, and it is the tentpole. It's basically all they've got. There's no Metroid Prime 4. Metroid Prime 4 is a 2023 game. And Breath of the Wild 2. And I will also double down and say, as I said last year, it ain't called Breath of the Wild 2 when it releases. It'll have some other name, you know, the Stones of Fate, the Runes of, you know, Legend of Zelda, Runes of Glory, or whatever it is. It's going to be a different title, and it'll be their big fall game, and it'll be pretty much the only fall game that Nintendo puts out.
I love that as a bold prediction, even though you've had that several years running now. I think the least bold part about it is the name thing, because I think Zelda 2 is the only numbered sequel Zelda, right?
Like, yeah.
Majora's Mask, they give them new names. I agree. The only way I could see them not doing it is that they want to build on the brand of, you know, Breath of the Wild, but I don't think they need to. I think the Zelda brand is strong enough that they don't need, it's not like when, for car folks out there, Land Rover started branding all of their different models a Range Rover. And it's like, you can't do that. It's like the Range Rover Evoque, the Range Rover Sport, the Range Rover. Well, they can't all be Range Rovers when they're different platforms. Anyway, that's a specific reference for specific people. I don't think Zelda needs that. So yes, I agree. New name. I hope you're right that it's this year. I could see another Mario something though. I could see Splatoon 3 getting pushed to fall. I could see something else coming out in that space.
Interesting. All right. Well, do you think that if you had to predict, do you think that Breath of the Wild 2 or whatever they call it, it comes out this year?
It's not one of my predictions, but back to a corner in this moment, I would say yes. It's been a while.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's their big game for this year. All right. What is your bold prediction number two?
From bleak to optimistic, consoles are generally available come Black Friday.
What usually it wouldn't be bold to say you can actually buy a thing in a store, but you know, these are the times we live in.
To be fair, I didn't say which console, so it might be Xbox 360s.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. You can still get the Series S. No problem. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll see that, by Black Friday.
I honestly think you're right. I actually think this is a prediction that will come true. I think the supply chain stuff will be sorted in a year. And God, I hope I'm right. I hope you're right. I hope we're both right. Living through another year of that would be just rough for everybody. All right. That's a good bold prediction. Here's my second bold prediction. Chrono Trigger remake announced for a 2023 release.
And I feel like that was teased for Game Awards. Like I was hearing rumblings of that. Like it's going to be a Sony exclusive and this, that, and the other.
I think it's a full remake, like Final Fantasy VII remake. I think it is not near. I think they'll tease it for end of 2023 and it'll probably get pushed even farther than that. But yeah, I don't think it's near.
It'll be NFT based.
Yeah, I think it's, but I think it'll be announced this year.
Interesting. Okay. I'd make a lot of people happy. I'm curious. I don't know. It's off my head. Is this year, like, is 2022 an anniversary year for the franchise? I don't know either,
but I just think that
could be interesting.
I think the Final Fantasy VII remake did so well and I think it's going to happen now.
Yeah.
All right.
I like that.
You're up.
My third bold prediction, another major franchise goes free to play, at least for a mode. And I don't mean like some throwaway thing, but like Halo, right? Yeah. Halo Infinite. People talk about game of the year. It was on one of my five favorites. But the whole package is incredible. And it's kind of like, well, part of that isn't the package, you know, like you can go onto Steam and download Halo Infinite multiplayer for free, nothing else required.
Yeah.
Incredible.
What I think franchise is primed for that though? What, I mean, didn't Call of Duty has done something similar already, right?
Yes. I mean, I think Battlefield is primed for it. Perhaps
Battlefield is like all multiplayer. They can't just give that away.
It's over there. Like maybe Portal just becomes free to play.
Portal?
No, but Battlefield.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. That's bad name.
Yeah.
Or as I keep talking now, Ubisoft actually does it, right? They've been rumblings about it, which is why it's bold and not Cool Ranch. But like they do the free to play Assassin's Creed that has expansions that you buy or something like that.
I think the next Assassin's Creed is the opposite of free to play. I think the next Assassin's Creed is like, it's a subscription service. I mean, this is not an official prediction.
The free to play games are rarely free to play, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I know, but I think it's going to be.
I think like Genshin Impact. Gosh, I can't talk.
Yeah.
I mean, by all accounts, it's a fantastic game that monetizes somewhat respectably. And is a behemoth. And I have to think that other games are looking at that, not just as a Breath of the Wild-like, but also as a AAA free-to-play game.
Yeah.
Make all of the monies.
Yeah. I think that's a really solid prediction. I think, and certainly Halo has shown the way, right? I think that undeniable that a lot of more people played that game than would have if it was a $60, $70 product. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll stick with Microsoft for my next bold prediction, which is Gears of War 6 is announced. Again, not for this year, but 2023 or beyond. And it's open world. Open world Gears of War.
Leaning into what they tease in 5. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. Okay. Sign me up. I could see it being like Halo gear, a Halo open world, right? Not full Assassin's Creed, but like
right. It has bigger. More. It has more. Yeah, it's more directed, sort of campaigny. But you can go and do things that you want to. You have to close up. What are they called?
Yeah.
Holes. The emergence holes. And you got to do that
instead of a base. That and that becomes your base.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Yes.
And I think Gears of War kind of needs something. It needs to be reinvented a little bit, you know,
like Halo did.
Yeah. And maybe in the same way.
Come on, Coalition.
There you go.
I like that.
Big old husky Gears guys. Marcus Phoenix, like, yeah,
I like that. That's a good one.
Thanks.
When I wrote this down, it felt bold. You might yell at me and say it's not bold enough. Cause maybe they've said it, but I think we've talked about it a little bit. PS Plow doesn't add day one AAA games this year. No day one AAA games to PS Plow in 2022.
Really? You think not any?
Not day one AAA games.
Okay. I mean, I can imagine them not adding like the Gods of Wars of the world and, you know, like the big marquee stuff, but you don't think any AAA games?
I think this is the year that Sony cashes those checks.
Yeah.
For those AAA $70 games that haven't come out yet.
Right.
And I think if they get forced into day one, it'll come later. I don't think it's this year.
All right. Well, we shall see. I'm hoping you're wrong on that one too, because I like me day one AAA. I will happily subscribe to Plow. I will happily have two subscriptions if this is Amazon Prime, Netflix kind of situation. All right. That's a good one. Bold. All right. Here's another one that I know you're going to make fun of me for kind of doubling down, but I think this is actually bold to say PSVR 2 does release in 2022.
Whoa.
I still think Half-Life Alyx is a launch title. And I will add something else to make it more than just last year's same prediction. There will also be a launch title from Insomniac.
Okay, so I like this prediction. I will reveal that I had that as a Cool Ranch prediction.
Ooh.
I had Insomniac as a PSVR 2 game.
Ooh.
I don't have it as a launch game, but I went so far as to make that Cool Ranch because Insomniac already seemingly has a full plate.
They do.
I know the studio's expanded, but they've announced Spidey 2, Wolverine, but I agree. I think we're getting an Insomniac PSVR 2 game.
Nice. We're on the same page. I think it's a launch title. I think they're going to launch with some. It may not be like a big, you know, 10, 15 hour, 30 hour game. I think it may be because Insomniac before Spidey, they did a bunch of really smaller things. You know, they were kind of experimenting.
Some great VR things too.
Yeah, great VR things. Yes, absolutely great. You know, Feral Rights and Edge of Nowhere. Great
Edge
games.
Of Nowhere. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they've got the internal teams that know VR, and I think that Sony's going to be like, do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it could be their Batman, right? Like,
yes.
The Arkham experience, such a fantastic entry point to VR. Like, you're putting on the cowl.
Right.
And I could see Insomniac doing something similar.
I can't wait for your Cool Ranch prediction. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be fun. this is also a double down. I have my last two bolds are kind of like continuations of other ones, but I think Microsoft makes another sizable acquisition. I went from Sony last year to Microsoft this year. I don't think they're done.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's I said IDOS last year. I'll say it again this year. But for Microsoft, I think they have another pop in them.
I almost had this. I think this. They've kind of talked in various interviews about still being actively interested in making acquisitions. Like that's part of their strategy. So I almost put this down, and I almost called my shot on IO Interactive.
Yeah.
Because they're working on, IO has announced that they're working on an Xbox exclusive game, which doesn't necessarily mean anything, but they're possibly, you know, possibly means that they're talking to Microsoft, and Microsoft could be like, we love this game so much, we want to buy you, you know?
They're also working on a Bond, and there were rumors now of GoldenEye achievements leaking for Xbox. So maybe there's some other, you know, conversation there as well.
Yeah. Well, supposedly this Xbox exclusive game is multiple years away, but it's like a dragon IP, like some dragon based thing, which like
Scalebound.
Sign me up, Scalebound. But sign me up for IO Interactive making some sort of dragon game. Yes. But
it's actually just Agent 47 pretending to be a dragon. it's a LARPing level.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, I like that. What's your, do you have any other bolds?
I do. I have two more.
Okay.
This one, I think is not super likely, but I'm going to say it anyway. Ubisoft announces a game with a Marvel license.
Okay. I'm wondering, have they not already? I think they did a Star Wars.
Yeah.
They've announced a Star Wars.
And they got the Avatar. I think Marvel is like, you know, playing the field. You know what I mean? I think everybody is coming to the table, and Marvel's like, sure, we got characters. Who do you want? You know, I think Ubisoft making a Marvel game. I don't know what Marvel character, but I think Ubisoft could emerge with a Marvel game.
Now I just need to go through and look at all of your and John Drake's Twitter interactions to get any clues.
Do you have any more bolds?
I have one more. Okay. And again, it's kind of the opposite of one I had last year, kind of like the Microsoft. And now this one is gaming isn't a focus for Apple's headset.
I
think we hear more about their AR VR headset this year. And despite last year thinking that they would make gaming a big focus for Apple TV, which they did not, I think gaming might exist on this headset, but I don't think that's how they're positioning it. I love Apple Arcade. I still play Wonderbox Adventure Maker pretty regularly. NBA 2K22 is a fun, I just play, you know, like a classic season mode on it. It's a fun diversion. But I think that this thing continues the Apple tradition of not being gaming focused, unfortunately.
Interesting. Wow. I hope you are wrong, but it could very well be, you know, I mean, they're interested in like fitness and lifestyle and
meetings.
Yeah. And that kind of like, yeah. Enterprise
stuff. I think games will exist on it, but I don't think it will be like the Index is a gaming device, right?
Yeah.
That you can also do things on. I think even the Quest is a gaming device that.
Yeah. But the, you know,
they're trying to position as something else.
The HTC introduced that new headset. That's not gaming at all. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my last bold. I think this is kind of fun. Microsoft's E3 event has a Fable reveal, a lot of Starfield, but the big mic drop game at the end of the show is Machine Games' Indiana Jones game. That's the big one more thing that they show.
You know that scene in Indy where he uses a gun? This is a whole game of that.
I'm super excited for that Machine Games Indiana Jones game. I don't think it comes this year at all, but I think that's what they
Starfield it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the big mic drop. Like a lot of the conference is Starfield. A lot of the conference, you know, maybe I think we get a Fable reveal, and there's lots of other stuff, you know, and yes, Starfield coming out this year, big, you know, section of the whatever E3 event is. But I think they're big, like, oh, and one thing to leave you with, and it's, we see a hat, we see a whip, and then we get some actual, like, either cinematic trailer or gameplay.
Yeah, super iconic potential moments there, right? For like, and we have one more thing that goes dark, and you hear the score come up, or you hear the whip crack, or Harrison Ford walks out on stage. Is there Keanu moment or something like that? Like, yeah, that'd be really fun.
Yeah. All right. So there you have it. Those are our bold predictions. But you know what? We do not stop at bold.
No, sir.
No, sir. We add even more flavor. We go even farther. We assault your mouth. And again, we say it every year. Frito-Lay Corporation. Doritos. The sponsorship is right there. It's sitting right in front of us. Come on.
And we know that you've said no for 8 years. Yeah, it's been maybe 8 years
of no's. But maybe this is the year.
Maybe you heard at the beginning of the show. Maybe this is the year.
So, you know, please. In our subreddit, people were suggesting that we should move on from Cool Ranch and go to, I guess, Doritos announced a new flavor that's like spicy, you know, super hot, something crazy, you know, something even more. Mm. Yeah. We're sticking with Cool Ranch. Eventually.
I mean, I'd love to see what those predictions are. It's like, I breathe fire out of my butt. You know, like
all the
Jeff
games,
learns how to fly.
All your games will explode. Yeah. All right. Cool Ranch. Christian Spicer, Cool Ranch me up.
As I mentioned for bold, that I thought consoles would be available on Black Friday. This is the year where I think that we get announced a new PS5 SKU.
Whoa. Okay.
I don't think they care that they're hard to find, that they've been hard to find. I don't know if it, I don't think we get it this year.
Is it like a mini, like a PS5, slim?
That's the obvious guess. The thing that soured me on this when I started putting this list together, which I kind of like my faves of the year, I tinker with all year because I think it's fun, you know, to be like, ooh, and then something comes out. They announced faceplates, right, already.
Yeah.
So that kind of, I was like, oh, maybe they won't do that because they haven't even started selling those or they just started selling them yet. But I think tech is still progressing, right? And so if they can shrink things down and save some bucks and get a new SKU out, I think they will. And I don't think they'll care that they can't, just like Microsoft last year, released a limited edition console when Series X, when all Series X's were limited edition.
Yeah. Right.
So that's my first Cool Ranch, is that we get a new PS5 SKU.
Well, my first Cool Ranch, I see your PS5 SKU and raise you an Xbox SKU, because my first Cool Ranch is Microsoft announces a new Xbox SKU that is streaming only.
Okay. I get nervous when I like the predictions we make where the other person immediately says no, you know? I could definitely see this happening, right? They've hinted at it, teased at it, or the only other way I think this, maybe not this year, but it's not, they don't even bother with the Roku style box. It's just like, it's available on LG displays.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot, and clearly they're wanting to go there. I just think that it's too early for that. I just don't think that really happened. I do think there is a hockey puck Roku style Xbox that's super cheap, that gives you streaming only.
Yeah,
that comes bundled with, you know, a month of Game Pass.
That's now more expensive.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those ways for them to combat scarcity, and they just like strip out all the expensive bits inside the thing. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd work.
Yeah. I like that. I would certainly buy one, even though I don't need one, just because I'd be curious to see how it worked.
Yeah. All right. Your second Cool Ranch.
This is more optimistic than anything else. Bobby is out at Activision.
Yeah. I think that's, the saddest part is that it has to be Cool Ranch. Like
it has to be
that
Cool Ranch.
Unlikely. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. That should
but
be
man,
like,
I hope so.
That should be bold at most. It should be sort of obvious at least, you know? But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lasting change, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I sort of feel like it would have happened already, but if it was going to happen, you know, but, yeah, here's hoping. I feel like he, you know, clearly, did you see that after that Maxine Glizzo, how do you pronounce her name? He was in her little black book. Did you see that? What a scumbag. All right. Anyway, I need to editorialize. My next Cool Ranch prediction is. Well, I'm going to go with this one because you've kind of already said it, and you didn't even for you it was bold, I think. But I'm gonna put it in Cool Ranch because I think it is Cool Ranch. Apple's VR headset is announced at WWDC for release in early 2023.
Okay.
I think we get the Apple VR headset this year announcement. It's, you know, at the end of the year. WWDC is at the end of the year, and it'll be available early 2023, making 2023 the year of VR. Because the PSVR 2, Apple's VR headset, I think there'll actually also be another Oculus headset, and that VR will like really hit its stride in 2023.
It's hard to challenge that. I mean, I think we were on another show, and I predicted that it was going to come out in 2020, Apple's headset. So I'm not going to argue on a couple more years. I'm super excited to see how they enter that space. It's something they've been clearly toying with for a long time, and I'm very excited to see how they enter it.
Me too. I really think that could be the shot in the arm that the whole technology needs is Apple getting into that race, and I hope they do it right. I'm scared that your other prediction is right, which is like they don't really care about gaming, but they've got Apple Arcade.
Right. Even if they don't care about it, it can thrive on the platform, right? Yeah. I mean, gaming on iPhones has thrived,
yeah,
even though Apple hasn't, you know,
right,
pushed it internally as hard as I hoped they would.
Yeah. All right. You're up for a Cool Ranch.
Cool Ranch number three. Please, Lord, please. Metroid Prime comes out to Switch, even if it's just a re-release of one. Like, just please.
I think that the trilogy that long rumored trilogy up-res, I think that's a pretty good bet for this year.
Well, it's only Cool Ranch now because it felt bold 2 years ago.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And the longer it takes. Like, I, again, as Dread, you know, found its way at my top spot, and now I'm playing Fusion and Zero again on my analog, I love Samus. I love Metroid, and the Prime games forever hold an even more special place in my heart. They're so great. And I almost hooked up my Wii U to replay them. Like, that's how desperate I was.
Yeah.
So I really hope I get something in the Prime franchise this year.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty viable prediction to say that the trilogy, or at least the first Metroid Prime, comes out. I will tell you this: I don't think they're full remakes. I think it's going to be barely up-resed. I don't think there'll be a lot of futzing with them that they do.
I mean, the first one was 480p, you know, so yeah. Like 720p. Like, I've been beaten down for so long that I'm okay with that, as long as it's not $60 and only available for a month or something.
Right. You know? Yeah. All right, I will stick in the Nintendo realm. My next Cool Ranch is that the next big Mario game is a new version of Super Mario RPG.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Huh. I think we might get a new one. I don't think it'll be the big one. Does that make sense?
I don't think we get like a new mainline Mario this year. I really don't. I think we're going to get like filler and Breath of the Wild 2. I think we're going to, huh. But I do think that they will announce a Super Mario RPG. I don't know if it's a remake or like a, like that. I feel like that's an unmined opportunity for doing something different with Mario.
Yeah, they did how old is Paper Door? That's a Switch game, right?
It's not that old. Yeah, that was only a couple years, 3 years.
Yeah, so I feel like that studio is kind of, one has been shuttered, I think, if I remember correctly. But it is like something they've kind of danced around, but never, I mean, that first one, of course, was a Square game, which is now on the expansion pass. Or coming to it. I forget if it's out or announced for it. That'd be interesting. I'm curious, or I wonder if they view Rabbids as kind of the spiritual successor, even though it's not an RPG, but you know, it's like a strategy genre kind of thing.
Maybe. I think there's room for I think the Super Mario RPG is pretty cool. And
yes.
Yeah, I think there's room for it. But, yeah. You know, Cool Ranch. Who knows?
Cool Ranch.
Yeah.
My last one, because we talked about the Insomniac as a PSVR 2 game, which you thought was just regular old Bold as you kept talking. My last one, and I've toyed with this before with Fortnite as a game I keep coming back to and as a game that is taking over the world. Cool Ranch prediction, a quote, substantial end quote, new mode comes to Fortnite.
Okay. What does that mean?
So it's not, I don't think it'll exist at the menu the same way Save the World Battle Royale Creative does. I think Fortnite, against my hopes and dreams, will kind of embrace more of that Roblox model of a launcher, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the signs are there, but they haven't done it yet, which is why I still think it's Cool Ranch. But like, they're expanding where you can get XP. And so I don't know if it's a no build mode or if it's a racing, you know, dedicated racing game. If they bring Burnout back, you know, they have destruction.
Yeah.
They have destructibility. That's funny. Have good handling Halo style cars that are a blast to drive, that have way better physics than they need to, and tracking gas and suspension changes. You go into Fortnite, you can pick up off-road tires to craft onto your car to drive better through the hills and stuff like that. Like, the amount of mechanics for racing in Fortnite, it does not need to be as good as it is. Or the harmonics something,
right,
or like
right.
a Coachella, Forever Coachella, you know, channel or something like that.
Interesting.
I think it's ripe for a dedicated something else thing. That's like a major thing where people start spending a lot of their time and not just like I visited the winter cabin to get my gifts, you know, like something big.
I think that's great. Clearly, they want Fortnite to be all things. So, you know,
all things.
Yeah, I think that's a really strong prediction. That's good. I like it. All right. I have two more Cool Ranches. They'll be fast.
Okay.
Okay. First one is Christian Spicer. Now, again, this is Cool Ranch. Ready?
Moves to Denver?
I wish.
What?
I wish. You don't even need to bring your family. Just come over. And lives in my basement.
Cool Ranch. I saw pictures of the snow. It looks very cold.
It's delightful. Christian Spicer, before 2022 ends, owns an NFT.
Well, I technically already do.
Boom! I already got it right.
They were last year. So I got one. I have at least two, I think. So I got one from DC Universe Infinite or whatever they called it. It's like, thanks for being a subscriber for so long. Here's an NFT. And I was like, I haven't set up the account for the wallet yet, but I think I can whenever. And then we got season tickets to Angel City Football Club, which is the new women's professional soccer team in Los Angeles. And I was like a very early season ticket purchaser for that. And it was the same thing. It's like, thanks for being a day one. Here's a NFT of our crest. Go into you create your wall. And I haven't done it, but I technically have at least those two.
I got news for you. You are going to be wealthy, my friend, with two NFTs you already own. Wow. Wealthy. All right. Yeah. Well, I guess I already got that one right. So chalk that up for me.
That happened in 2021.
I said before 2022 ends.
Okay.
And 2022 has not ended. Criteria met.
I got to create these wallets and sell these things. I have 11 months and 3 weeks.
All right. And my last one, and this is sort of, in the spirit of last year. My last Cool Ranch is any game that we know about, but doesn't already have a 2022 release date, does not release in 2022. So
wait, what?
Any game. So games that are slated for 2022, but don't have an actual date, don't come out this year.
I mean, I already went so far to say that Suicide Squad, which has an actual date,
yes. Oh, no. Some games that have an actual date won't come out this year. But any game that doesn't already have a 2022 release date.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, it's, you know. But
wait, wait, no, 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 no. You can't. You've created a prediction paradox. Because you're either, you can't, this and Zelda contradict.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, yeah, I guess that's true. I have created a prediction paradox. Well, I'm either right or
well, I hope
I'm
you're
either
right.
Right or I'm right.
You can't be wrong if you guess both sides.
There you go.
Is it heads or tails? Yes. I mean, yes, I like that. And I like the continuation of it from last year. I think it'll be very fun.
Yeah.
But then I also hope that there are a lot of Metroid Dreads, you know?
I hope
so
too.
Awesome games that we don't know about that come out.
Regardless, it's going to be fun covering the video game industry for another year. It's going to be fun talking to you for another year. It's going to be fun welcoming guests on every single week. This is the part of the year, at the beginning of the year, where we reach out to you, the listeners, and say, hey, if there are any voices that you would like to hear on the show that we don't know about, please let us know. We love reaching out to new folks that should be guests on the show that you'd like to hear on the show. We know a lot of folks in the video game industry, but we don't know everybody. And it's great to get diverse, interesting, new people that we have not had on the show before. So please let us know who you'd like to hear. If you can send it to us, dlcfeedback@gmail.com. Even better, put it in a thread on the subreddit, 5x5dlc.reddit.com, or on the Discord, which is 5x5dlc on Discord as well. We love getting great suggestions for new folks that we should reach out to and bring onto the show. Christian, thank you, man. This has been fun. It's always one of my favorite episodes of the year. Thanks for doing it. And thanks for stepping into the unknown with year 9 with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. It started in my closet 9 years ago, sitting in my closet, and I kind of still am, but it feels good.
Kind of still am. Well, thank you to each and every one of you who listens to our show and cares enough to bring us into your ear holes every week. We are grateful for that. And we got a big year coming up. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. We hope you stick with us. Until next time, think about what you put out into the world. Make it a better place.
Jeff was right.